And they come to him with this question, because to them it seems like one of those things like, can God make a rock so heavy he can't lift? It just seems like by having this law in place, it sort of forestalls any possibility of resurrection, because there'd be the question of, well, whose wife is she now in the resurrection? And they thought it was quite a ridiculous idea. And somehow that in the resurrection there would be a problem. And of course, Jesus' answer is that in the resurrection, they don't marry or give in marriage. They are as the angels in heaven. The angels don't marry or give in marriage. They're not given to that carnal aspect of humanity. There isn't going to be that, you know, joining and giving of offspring anymore. It has nothing to do with the resurrection. So that's over. So they don't know the power of God concerning the dead rising. And that, of course, goes right against the Muslim idea of heaven, which has all kinds of carnality. And even the, you know, and a lot of times the Christian idea of heaven is funny, because they understand it's not, they figure, no sex, okay. But we want every other kind of pleasure. We want a giant house. We want all the pastries we can stuff our faces with. Because it's not enough that we were fat and bloated in the earth. No, when we get to heaven, we want to eat as much as we can without getting fat. I remember that head of the National Evangelicals who got busted with the male prostitute was on a program with Barbara Walters, I think it was, and saying how heaven was, you can eat as many pastries as you want and never get fat. As if that which, you know, like what, it's like they look at it in a juvenile sense. The way when you're a child, you're not allowed to swear, but when you're an adult, you can swear all you want. And when you're in the earth, you can't be a pig. But when you go to heaven, be the biggest pig you like. You might as well just throw in all the sex you like, too. Because what's the big deal? The point is, why would God ask us to show restraint in the earth, but then in heaven, no restraint? What's the point of exercising all this restraint in a sinful and weak body if we are not expected to exercise restraint in a limitless existence? That's part of the point of living, is to learn restraint. And to learn, just like God restrains himself, he wants us to experience restraint in this sort of worldly existence so that we can exercise it when we get there. That's not the only thing, but that's part of it. Certainly. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, it's like exercising yourself in a bunch of, you know, it's like running, you know, working out, all just so what? We can sit on couches and get fat. Now, I know they say you won't get fat. What's the difference? The point of the fatness is to show us we shouldn't eat so much. That's part of the, I don't know if that's the point, but I'm just saying. You know, no, they don't want to be fat. Why not? Why not just be fat? Let's just be a big fatty in heaven. Oh, I don't want to be a big fatty because of all the negative consequences of it. There are other negative consequences, spiritual consequences which you're overlooking. There are negative consequences of indulgence, negative consequences of being unable to restrain yourself. And so in all things, it's good to exercise restraint, whether it be in sexual activity, eating, drinking, making merry, whatever, to be able to control oneself, self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. It's one of the promises of God. Add to your faith. And of course, we ought to know as Christians that the dead do rise. There's coming a day. Now, I usually quote from John 5. I haven't been doing it because we're going to cover John in the gospel. But Jesus taught the resurrection. You know, and today we don't believe in the resurrection anymore. We believe in some other belief that says when you die, you immediately go to heaven. Right? And it all comes from misunderstanding a couple parables and misunderstanding a few passages. But Jesus clearly taught the resurrection of the dead. And let me make it clear. John chapter 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, speaking of the authority that the Son of Man has to execute judgment. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. The resurrection is when those that are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God, calling them forth, rise from your graves. And they come out of their graves. And they're going to live again. That's the resurrection. Now some people, because of the leaven in their minds, which perverts them from the truth of the resurrection of the dead, according as Christ and his apostles taught it, and according as the Old Testament taught it. See, the Sadducees would read things. They understood the dead don't know anything. They understood what death was, but they didn't believe in a resurrection of the future. And Jesus taught a future resurrection. But it is only said of Christ that his soul was not left in hell. That he is the only one who has ascended into heaven. No man hath ascended into heaven, but the Son of Man which is in heaven. He that came down from heaven first. He came down from heaven, he has ascended into heaven, and there is none other. That is what the scriptures teach. It's also from the book of John. John 3. No man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Which is in heaven, even now. When he comes forth, he will raise the dead. He will call them forth out of their graves. David, as Peter wrote, is not ascended into the heavens. And no saint is ascended into the heavens. They are asleep. So Jesus, when he saw dead people, said, oh, they're sleeping. I can wake them up. I can bring them back to life. But they sleep. It's like sleep, but with no dreams. Their thoughts perish. And only God can break that stronghold that death has on the life of one who's lost it. And the idea that God is the God of the living, some people would say, well, what? Is he God of the dead? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, are you saying they're dead? Well, they will live again in the resurrection. That's Jesus' point, that the dead have to rise. Because otherwise it wouldn't make sense for God to say that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it is because they rise from the dead that he is their God. Not because they've ascended into heaven in victory, ahead of Christ, ahead of the resurrection that is prophesied at the end of the world.